for us to stand the whole message so that no one falls. No, just kidding. We're not going to be doing that. You can take your Bibles and turn to the book of Proverbs, chapter 2 this evening. It's been a couple weeks since our series in Proverbs. It keeps getting interrupted, whether by snow or by my grandpa being here. By the way, he called me today and he said to give a thank you to the church for the love offerings that he received for his time here. He was very grateful, and they spoke very highly of our church to Karis and I, which was a very great encouragement to us, because I know we've emphasized in the past, whether in different series or in different times in the ministry, we want to be a friendly church. And my grandparents felt that from you all, and I hope everyone that walks through our doors feels that from us. So let's keep that up, but I hope that can be an encouragement to you. We've been in the book of Proverbs, and we're doing an overview of wisdom. We're taking two messages just to kind of overview everything going on with just a general principles about wisdom. And last week, we took the time to say that the purpose... Okay, sorry, this isn't just last week. I forgot what I had on the PowerPoint back there. But the purpose of Proverbs is where we started in our series. We looked at verses 1 through 6 of Proverbs chapter 1, where it introduces us to the author, the primary author, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. And then you look down and you can see verses 2 through 6 all start with a two-letter word. And it's the word two. It's saying this is the purpose. The book of Proverbs was written in order to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive words of understanding, and we won't walk through all of that. But that's the purpose of Proverbs there, in those first verses there. And then we looked at verse number 7 in the second message and said, okay, here is the foundation for wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the foundation for wisdom. Many other religions, many other secular psychiatrists or secular philosophers will say, here is the foundation for wisdom. We looked at it, and I think it was Aristotle that said, loving yourself or following yourself is the foundation of all wisdom. And many people will tell you that today. You go to Disney World. Celebrate yourself. Follow your dreams. Follow your heart. Your dream is going to come true. Well, the Bible says here is the foundation for biblical wisdom, for biblical living. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And then we started into this overview of wisdom. Because really, everyone says that Proverbs 1 through 9, the chapters 1 through 9, it's really an introductory to the whole rest of the book. You have larger sections in Proverbs 1 through 9 that kind of follow a similar theme. But then once you get into Proverbs chapter 10, it's almost like rapid fire, where it'll jump from one subject to the next. They're just short little sayings, proverbial sayings. But here in verses in chapters 1 through 9, it's overviewing really the whole entire book for us. And so we're in this overview of wisdom section. And the last time, this would be 2 weeks ago, we started with just saying that wisdom is readily accessible. And we saw that starting in verse number 20 of chapter 1, where wisdom is crying out everywhere. It's readily accessible. You can hear it everywhere. And then we looked over into chapter 2. And in verse number 6, it says, for the Lord giveth wisdom. Wisdom is not something that's hard to understand. We're not talking about anything separate than what the rest of the Bible gives us. Really, what wisdom is taking the knowledge that we get from the Bible, from God's own mouth, and a wise person will then take that and apply that to their lives. Wisdom is really living skillfully. And so we noticed and highlighted that wisdom comes from God. And then we said we must respond to wisdom, and we're going to pick up here tonight. 2 weeks ago, we talked about ways that we can reject wisdom. That was part number one in our overview of wisdom. But we're going to talk tonight not about the rejection of wisdom. Tonight we're going to focus on how we can heed wisdom. The heeding of wisdom is going to be our subject tonight. And this is all in this overview of wisdom. We're going to be in Proverbs chapter 2. And if you look in Proverbs chapter 2, I want to point out just a couple general observations here before we actually read and jump into the text. But you've noticed in verse number 1, it says, my son, if thou wilt receive my words. And then you look at verse number 3, yea, if thou criest after knowledge. Verse number 4, if thou seekest her. So the first four verses all have the letter, all have the word if, except for verse number 2. You could say that word so there could also be the word if you will incline your ear. But if you will do this, then it shouldn't surprise us. You come to verse 5, it says, then this is what will happen. And really, the whole entire chapter, Proverbs chapter 2, it's this massive if this, then this. It's a massive if, then statement. It's like you tell your child, we just had a family conference this last week. It's like you tell your child, if you do this, here are going to be the consequences. Or, if you behave during church, we'll go get ice cream afterwards. I just gave you a really good idea. But if you do this, then this is what's going to happen. And that's the whole scope of Proverbs chapter 2, really. Verses 1 through 4 say, if you do this, if you do this, if you get wisdom, then here are all the blessings that are going to come your way. Here are all the wonderful results that it's going to have. And so we're going to jump into Proverbs chapter 2 and look at the ways, the requirements of us. Okay, how do we heed wisdom? What do we mean when we say, I'm listening to wisdom, I'm heeding wisdom? How do we do that? Because it says, if you will do this, if you will do that, if you will do this, then you will get wisdom, and here are going to be all of the blessings that come your way. So we're going to first look at how do we do this, and then we're going to look secondly at the results that come from receiving wisdom. But before we do that, let's pray, ask God to challenge our hearts tonight, to use His Word to convict us and guide us. Father, we thank You that we can open up Your Word tonight. Thank You for Your Word and the power that it gives us. Lord, thank You for Your wisdom. And Lord, even knowing how to get wisdom takes wisdom to do that. And I pray that we would open our hearts to what Your Word says for us. I pray that we would be people that seek after wisdom. And Lord, that we would then enjoy the blessings and the benefits that come from a life that is ordered under You, from a wise living. And we ask that You would help our church to be a wise church of people that are living righteously for Your sake. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. So we're jumping in here to Proverbs chapter 2. And we'll go ahead and read verses 1 through 4 at this time. It says, my son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments within thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then thou shalt understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. And we won't get into all of the results from wisdom, but I wanted to tack that in there on the end so you can see the contrast there. We're going to first talk about tonight the reception of wisdom. And we see this in verses 1 through 4 here. And we're going to jump around and get some other verses in there as well. But the first thing that we need to do with wisdom is listen to it. And that's really obvious. You need to place yourself in a position where you can be hearing wisdom. We pointed out last week that wisdom is calling out. If you look over to chapter 1 in verse 20, if it's right across the page, it says, wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief places of concourse. In the openings of the gates in the city, she uttereth her words. Wisdom is readily available. It's calling out. It's like you're walking through a market. Everybody's there. And here's wisdom calling out to you. We use the illustration of an ad on social media that just pops up on everyone's thing right there. It says, hey, I'm here. Come visit us. Come buy this. Do this. Wisdom is popping up everywhere we look. Wisdom is readily accessible. But imagine yourself walking through a busy market. I don't know if you've ever been to Times Square or maybe Chinatown in New York or a place like that, an overseas marketplace. But there's so many people calling out. There's so many different voices being heard. And it's that way in our lives too. Wisdom is not the only thing that's vying for our attention. We have money calling out to us. We have financial responsibility for our family. Some of you literally have voices in your children. Mommy, I need this. Daddy, I need this. Help me, help me, help me. And you don't have any time, you feel like, to really sit there and like the psalm says, to be still and to focus on God. Be still and know that I am God. We were in Pakistan one time. This is my only overseas trip. And of all places, I got to go to Pakistan. It was pretty crazy. But I think I mentioned this. We were running a Christian camp over there. It was a really unique opportunity. And one day, right before we were going to leave, we were going to do some tourist shopping, try to get something to bring back. I have a cricket bat in my office from Pakistan. And so if you want to see that after the service, it's sitting in there. But we were looking for a cricket bat to bring back with us. That's fun to fly with. We had to like wrap it up and everything like that. But we're going into this market, and we want this cricket bat to find. Well, as soon as they see my 6'6", very white American dad walking into the marketplace, everyone starts calling out, "Hey, I have this, I have this. You want to buy this? No, you want to buy this." And then you walk away. "No, I'll go cheaper. I'll go." And you know, everyone's vying for a place to get his attention. And that's how it is in our own lives. But see, my dad and I, we knew, okay, no, we just want a cricket bat. And so we kind of tuned everything else out until we saw someone either holding up a cricket bat or, you know, heard someone in English muttering or yelling, "Cricket bat, cricket bat." Oh, that's where I want to focus. Well, that's how it needs to be in our lives too. It's like we're in a marketplace and everyone's yelling out to us, "Hey, get this, get this, get this." But we need to be listening to God's voice. We need to say, "Oh, that's the voice of God. I'm going to tune out all these other things that are calling out to me. I'm going to quiet my heart and I'm going to be listening to wisdom." Wisdom is readily accessible, but so are so many other things. And what we need to do is we need to quiet our heart. There's a psalm where David says, "I have quieted my heart like a weaned child. I've stilled my heart. I'm just settled. I'm waiting. I'm listening. I want to hear my Father's voice." And so if we're going to get wisdom, the first step then is for us to say, okay, I'm going to intentionally and actively listen. And if you look there at verse number 2, and I love the word picture here, it says, "So that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding." It's like you hear wisdom and then you're leaning forward. You're getting more and more and more. You don't want to miss a word. You're on the edge of your seat, if you will. You're like, I need to hear this. That's how it should be for us. That should even be your heart attitude right now as God's word is being preached. I know I'm not the greatest of preachers, or you know, the oldest or the most experienced. I'm definitely not my grandpa. And don't come bolster me afterward, "Nathan, you're great." That's not what I'm asking for. But whoever is speaking, whatever the context, we need to be there. This is God's word. We're opening God's word. I want to hear this. It's so important for us to do that. And so in receiving wisdom, the first step for us is to say, okay, I'm going to take this time, I'm going to set it aside, I'm going to listen to what God has to say from His Word. I hope you have a time set aside every day where you can just have some quiet moments with the Lord. We need that. And the more kids you have in your home, the more early you have to be at work, everything like that, it's going to cause some issues. But make sure you have a segmented amount of time where you can just say, okay, Lord, I'm tuning out everything else. I'm going to place myself in a position where I can just listen to you without any type of interruptions. That's how we get wisdom. We need to be actively listening to it. So as we receive wisdom, we need to be listening. Secondly, we need to turn from our own ways. And we see this. This is not necessarily in Proverbs chapter 2. It's even more clear in Proverbs chapter 1. And we mentioned this briefly when we were talking about ways we can reject wisdom. We said one of the ways we can reject wisdom is by not turning from our way. See, as God gives wisdom to us, we're going to find out really quickly that His wisdom doesn't always match up with what Nathan thinks or what Nathan wants. The Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. Who can know it? And that's what we find out. But you look in Proverbs chapter 1, and this is wisdom calling out. You look at verse number 22. Wisdom says, "How long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity, and scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge?" It says, "Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you." In verse 25, it says, "But ye have set it not, all my counsel." These people refuse to listen. "And you would have none of my reproof." You know what wisdom does? Wisdom reproves us. Wisdom corrects us. When we come and say, "Lord, I want to listen to your word," really quickly, it's going to start rubbing some stuff off in our lives. It's going to say, "Nathan, that's not right there. You need to fix that. You're not thinking straight there. You need to reshape your thinking." That's why constantly in scriptures it says, "Be transformed by the renewing of your mind." When we focus on God's Word, then we learn very quickly that we cannot trust our own minds, our own hearts. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not into thine own understanding. Don't lean on that. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him. He will direct your paths. The very next verse says, be not wise in thine own eyes. Don't think, I have it all together. Because you don't. The person that's going to be the wisest person is the person that's going to be the most teachable. And we must be teachable if we're going to learn wisdom. And I love the example of salvation here. Because salvation really is, the Bible talks about repentance. And really, one of the core things with salvation is instead of your mind saying, I think I can make it. Because the natural, every other religion of the world, this tells you how our minds naturally think. We think, if I get up to heaven and I've done more good than bad, then guess what? God's going to let me into heaven. That's our natural thinking. But the Bible says, no, you have to turn from what you can do and you have to place everything. You have to rely only on Jesus Christ for salvation. And if you think about our own wisdom, what we're doing is we're turning from what Nathan thinks is best, from what I want, from what I think is best, and we're saying, I know this goes against what I think is best, but Lord, your word says this. I'm going to ignore my way. I'm going to rest in your truth. We need to be willing to turn. Because wisdom is going to correct us. Wisdom is going to reprove us in those ways. Psalm 119, a familiar verse where it says, oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. But then get this. It says, thou through thy commandments hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers. Why? For thy testimonies are my meditation. It's because God's word is his meditation, not because he did something. I understand more than the ancients because I keep thy precepts. And then a very familiar verse right after that. Thy word is a lamp unto a feet and a light unto my path. It's thy word, not my word. My word is not a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It's God's word that will do that. And so we have to be willing, if we're going to receive wisdom, what wisdom is going to teach us is you have to turn from your way. And you have to say, God, I'm leaning and I'm trusting your word, not my own thoughts, not my own way. There has to be a turning in our reception of wisdom. But then you look back to chapter number 2. After it says, incline thine ear in verse number 2, so that thou incline thine ear into wisdom, apply thine heart for understanding. Verses 3 and 4 say, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures. So we're not just listening, we're not just turning from our own way, our own thoughts, we're eagerly searching it out. In Psalm 63, verse 1, it says, O God, thou art my God, early, or you could say earnestly, first thing, first priority. Early will I seek thee. My flesh longeth for thee. For thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water. It is used the image of a barren desert where someone is in need of water. And it says, Lord, your word is ever accessible to me. I know that. But just like that man in this dry, wasted desert is in great need of water and he's going to do everything he can to search for water. He says, Lord, that's how I'm searching for you. I'm looking for you just like someone would look for water in a dry and a barren wasteland. Psalm 119, verse 131 says, I opened my mouth and I panted, for I longed for thy commandments. Is there something in us that longs for God's word? That longs for God's wisdom? That says, Lord, I need this. I'm not just going to sit there and listen in church. I'm not just going to passively sit there and read my Bible. No, I'm going to look for ways to increase more and more. I'm going to actively and eagerly search for it. The comparison in verse number 4 is someone seeking for hidden treasures. If thou seekest her as silver, if thou searchest for her as for hidden treasures. You think about these people that spend their lives seeking after more money or looking for different treasures or maybe they're an archaeologist and they're trying to find that special connection or whatever. They're eagerly searching for this. And he says, you know what? And wisdom is compared and says her price is far above riches in so many different places. But it says, earnestly seek wisdom. Don't just passively sit there and wait for it to come to you. Wisdom will come to you. But if you truly understand the value of wisdom, you're not going to wait for it to find you. You're going to find it. You're going to eagerly seek after it. It's like, I remember, it's crazy that just 2 years ago, I was looking for an engagement ring at this time. It's hard to believe that. Now here I am in Kansas, an assistant pastor, and I'm a little baby on the way. But believe it or not, 2 years ago, I was still looking for an engagement ring for Karis. And what would I do? I would wait. It would constantly be on my mind. I would say, okay, I want to find the best ring for the best value, and I want to make sure it's something that Karis is going to like. And she had given me some little tips and everything. I kind of knew the general idea that she wanted, but I wanted this to be really special for her. And so I spent hours and hours and hours researching and finding out the different cut and the carat and everything like that. I had no idea about all that stuff before. Don't ask me now. I've forgotten all of it. I don't need to know that for a little bit later down the road, hopefully. But I started searching, eagerly searching to find just the right thing. Eagerly searching just like someone searching for a precious treasure or whatever. And I can promise you, once I found the ring and I had it in my hand, was I just going to carelessly, you know, like wear it around on my pinky until I gave it to Karis? No, what I did, I got a special box for it. I checked probably 10 times a day to make sure it was still there. And I put it in this little place where I knew no one would come and find it. And I'm using this to illustrate the next point that we're going to see here is when we eagerly search for something, when we value something, and then when we get it, do you know what we're going to do? We're going to guard that. That's the next thing that we find in our own search for wisdom is as we listen, we're turning, we're searching for it, we need to guard wisdom. I often find if I'm watching a sporting game or watching something on the TV, Karis mocks me all the time because I'll have the remote right there and it's just this tiny little, remotes get smaller and smaller and smaller. My parents had it very nice, these big remotes. I know we don't need them anymore, but those were much easier to find. But I'm sitting on the couch, I have this tiny little remote, and a commercial comes and I want to mute it or something like that, and I look, I can't find the remote. It's gone, it's lost. But it's a silly illustration, but even so with wisdom, did you know it likes to get away from us? It doesn't just like to get away. Often we force it out. We have a flesh within us that doesn't want God's wisdom. We have a heart that even after it is redeemed and it has been washed in Jesus Christ, it constantly wants to go its own way again. And so we see again and again in Proverbs that we need to be guarding our hearts. You notice in chapter 2, verse 1, since we're here, not only are we receiving the words, but we're hiding the commandments within ourselves. And if you flip over to Proverbs 4 in verse 13. Proverbs 4 verse 13. It says, take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go, for she is thy life. And then Proverbs chapter 6. Verses 20 and 21. It says, my son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. Talking about the wisdom we get from parents. But then it says, bind them continually upon thine heart and tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. For the commandment is a lamp and the law is a light. And reproofs of instruction are the way of life. There's value in wisdom. So what do? We bind it up. We tie it to ourselves so that it cannot leave us. It's like those little kids that have those backpacks with a leash on them. I always kind of laugh at that. If you did that for your child, that's great. I don't think I'll do that for my child. It almost looks like you're walking a dog or something like that. But why do they do that? Maybe the child is especially hyperactive and it can't get away. Because you know if it does. You know, you have that little leash there that they can't get so far away. Well, we don't even want it that loose with wisdom. We want that to be bound around our heart. That's what the Bible says. Bind it. Tie it around your neck. Don't let go of it. It's your life. Don't let it escape. Because wisdom does escape. We're quick to lose wisdom if we're not careful. If we're not constantly renewing our minds. If we're not constantly watching out for anything that will come in and take away wisdom. If we're not constantly evaluating our own thoughts to say, you know what? Oh, that thought crept in there. I need to make sure that I am right and not following my own thought. I don't want that wisdom to escape from me. I want to be growing instead. Don't be content with where you are in your spiritual life. Don't say, you know what? I've learned a lot. My mind can't take anymore. I'm just going to ease out the rest of my life. No, I've often heard it said, and Chuck even alluded to this again this morning, there's no autopilot in your Christian life. You're either drawing closer to God or you're falling away from God. You're either one or the other. There's no steady path. You're either getting closer to Him or you're falling. There's no autopilot. There's no cruise control in our Christian life. Because if we're not actively drawing closer to God, then we're losing it and we're falling away from God. There's a battle going on. And that's why we need to take time to be holy, even as we just sung a little bit ago. We have to intentionally take that time to guard that. So we need to be guarding it. And then we're here in chapter 4, or at least near it. But we need to also be loving wisdom. In Proverbs chapter 4 and verses 6 through 8. Well, let's start in verse number 5. It says, get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not. There it is, don't let it escape. Neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. And then get this, love her, and she shall keep thee. Verse number 8 says, exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. Wisdom is not just something to tack on to our lives or to go about, oh, I have to read my Bible today, I guess I'll do it. And by the way, if that's your attitude, still read your Bible. There are times like that for me. There were times in my life where I was really struggling and I felt like a hypocrite opening up my Bible because I did not want to open up and read my Bible. But you know what your flesh will tell you? Hey, you don't want to do it and so it's not going to do anything for you. But still read it. But the goal is to get to a point where you say, I cannot wait to be in God's Word. I even had to remind myself of that this morning. I was reading my own Bible reading, and I was reading in the Gospel of John, and just looking at, I am reading in Numbers and in John. I'm in two different places. I'm not making up Bible reading plans, I promise. But I'm reading in Numbers, I'm reading in the book of John, and I came away just like, wow, I'm so thankful for what Christ is doing for me and what He has done and the example that He set. And I remember actually consciously thinking this morning, and it wasn't just so I could use it for an illustration, but I remember consciously thinking, I'm actually excited to go to church and to open God's Word and to learn more about God. And unfortunately, that sticks in my mind because that's not always the case. So often we just come to church because we know we have to be there. But what God says is if you want wisdom, love it, embrace it. Say, I'm so glad I can read and get God's wisdom. Honor it. It says there in verse number 8, exalt her, she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. When you embrace wisdom, there's going to be something different about your life. Love it. Cherish it. Proverbs 7 and verse 4, it says, say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman. This is my most intimate companion here. You're family to me. God, I want your word to be just like a sister, just like a brother. If you're married, just like my spouse, I want to be that close to your word. I want to love your word the same way I love the closest of family relationships. In Proverbs chapter 8, in verse 17, this is wisdom talking, and she says, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Again, there's the idea of seeking it earnestly, but it says, I love them that love me. And that means that when we really love wisdom, when we really love God's Word, God sees that. You know what God's going to do? He's going to give us more wisdom. God knows our hearts and we say, Lord, I don't want any of this. I'm just here because I have to. I'm here because someone made me. I'm here because I don't want people to think I don't love God. I'm here because whatever, for any other reason. But when someone says, Lord, I'm here just because I love your word and I want to sit under it, then God's going to honor that. God's going to love that heart and he's going to give abundant wisdom to that person. So how do we receive wisdom? We need to be listening to it. We need to tune out other things. We need to sit at its feet, just like Mary did. Remember Mary and Martha, where Martha's busy in the kitchen. They probably didn't have a kitchen, but she's busy doing her things. And then Mary's just sitting there at the feet of Jesus. And Jesus says, no, Mary's doing what is needful. She needs to be here. She needs to be soaking this up. And don't neglect and light your house on fire just to read your Bible or anything like that. But we need to set aside some time to just sit there. Listen to it. Turn from your own way. Turn from your own wisdom. Search for it. Or eagerly and earnestly look to say, how can I get more wisdom? What's a better way I can be doing in my Bible study? If you're reading your Bible and you're not getting anything out of it, then maybe the read through a Bible in a year might not be for you this year. Sometimes I'll mix it up to say, you know what, I'm going to read through the Bible in a year, and then, you know what, I'm going to spend a year just in this particular book of the Bible. And I love the emphasis here of reading through the Bible in a year. That's a great thing if you can continue to get stuff out of it. But if you feel like, man, this is just too much for me, well then, take some time and just start going through verse by verse and say, Lord, what does this verse mean? What does this verse mean? Search it out. Do what you need to do to search for more wisdom. Then guard it when we get it, and we need to love it and cherish it. And then lastly, in our reception of wisdom, we need to be applying it to our lives. If you turn back to Proverbs chapter 2, in Proverbs chapter 2, we're going to see this in verses 7 through 9. Verses 7 through 9, it's talking about how God gives wisdom. He's the source of wisdom. He's the giver of wisdom. But it says, he layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. And it says, then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. But you see there in verse number 6, the Lord gives wisdom to the righteous person. And so if someone is just sitting there and soaking up God's word and they're never applying it to their lives, first of all, that can't happen. If you're actually soaking up, if you're actually letting it go into your heart, it will flow out. But we do need to be intentional in that. In James it says, be ye not hearers of the word, but be ye doers of the word. And then it says, if you're just a hearer of the word, you're like a person that looks in the mirror in the morning and go, oh, I look terrible. And then you just walk right out and go to work. And you don't care at all about it. None of us would do that. We look in the mirror and say, oh man, my hair's a mess, and man, I need to fix that. Ladies, sometimes more than men. Sometimes men, though, do it way more. I had a younger brother that was very particular about his hair. I would mock him, and he still is to this day. I still tease him all the time. But even myself, I'm not a very picky person, but I'll look at it, and I'm like, okay, oh dear, I have a lot of bedhead. I need to fix that. Well, when we look at the Bible, and we see what we need to fix, and we don't do anything about it, it's just as foolish as looking at yourself and saying, man, my hair is all over the place, but I don't care. When the Bible says, Nathan, your life is out of control, then I need to take the time and say, okay, Lord, I'm going to apply your word to my life then, and I'm going to live it out. Because God says, I'm going to give wisdom to the person that is not just hearing wisdom, but that is also applying it. To the person that really wants it and to the person that's going to let it change their life. And so this receiving of knowledge and receiving of wisdom, it's not just a one-time commitment. You know, I hope we all have the fear of the Lord at least somewhat in us, to where we have that right relationship with God as the central part of our life. If not, go back and start there. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. But if we're going to continue receiving wisdom and growing in wisdom and growing and living a righteous life, then we need to be listening to wisdom. We need to be turning from our own way again and again. We need to constantly be searching the scriptures to say, okay, I want more wisdom. We're going to be talking to people. In a multitude of counselors, there is safety. Don't lean on your own understanding. Talk to other people and say, what do you think about this? Guard your wisdom. Guard your heart. Keep it with all diligence. Out of it are the issues of life. Hold wisdom tight. Don't let it escape. Love it. Cherish it. And then apply it to your lives. This is a lot of work. We have all the way from A through F in these points. But whichever one of these spoke to you most, then take some time and say, okay, Lord, I'm going to do better just listening to your word. I'm going to take more time to just sit under your word, whether it's reading the Bible, or maybe you say, you know what, I have time this week to listen to an extra sermon. You can listen to more than just the sermons you get here at church. They're so accessible today. Maybe it's saying, no, you know what, I'm going to start reading a godly spiritual book that helps me know how to live righteously. Well, do that as well. Make sure it's a good book. There are a lot of books out there that will say they're Christian, but will give you some wrong advice. Ultimately, keep going back to the Bible. But find different ways to be searching. Guard the wisdom. Love it, and make sure you're applying it to your lives. This is hard work, but it is worth it. There are rewards for wisdom. And we're going to go much quicker here. But I want us to at least see this. It says, after all the requirements for us in seeking after wisdom, after all of the if statements, in verse number 9, it says, then thou shalt understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. And if you look back, I'm sorry, I read the wrong verse. Look at verse number 5. Verse number 5 is the first then statement. I jumped ahead. If thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, verse 4, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. And so one of the first rewards we get as we're eagerly searching for wisdom is we're going to grow in our knowledge of God. It says, then you will understand the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is a concept that's really hard to grasp our minds around. We want to be living in submission to Him and have this reverential awe for Him. But I don't completely understand that. I don't think anyone here in this room completely understands what does it look like to perfectly be living in the fear of the Lord. But I'll tell you, as we search the Bible for more wisdom, as we apply that wisdom to our lives, then we'll begin to exemplify what it means to be living in the fear of the Lord. Bible says, as you grow in your wisdom, then you're going to grow in knowing what it means to have a right relationship with God and what it means to be growing in your knowledge of God. You'll understand the fear of the Lord and you'll find the knowledge of God. That almost goes without saying. As we read our Bibles, we're going to understand God better because the Bible is all about God. It teaches us things about God. But then in verse number 9, and this was the verse that I read initially, it says, then thou shalt understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. And we mentioned this at the start. But as we're growing in wisdom, it will then help us to know how we should live. It's very practical, especially in the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs is one of the most practical books in the Bible. And we're getting there, I promise. We're doing these big overviews right now, but we'll get to the very practical parts. And so we're growing in righteous living. And really what righteous living is, it's wisdom applied. It's the knowledge that we get from the Bible that then results in wise living. A wise man is someone that takes the knowledge and doesn't just hold it in his head, but he applies it to our life, to his lives, to our lives. And so we'll grow in righteous living. And you look there, and very, very quickly in verse number 11, this is right after it says you're going to grow in righteousness and judgment. It says in verse 11, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee. And you know what happens when we read God's word? Is we grow in discretion. And discretion, I learned this from a very early age. Discretion is simply thinking before I do something. Discretion is to have the ability to say, I'm about to do this. Should I do that? Well, did you know as we grow in our wisdom of the Bible, we'll grow in discretion. And we'll say, okay, I'm about to do this. But you know what? The Bible says if I do this, then such and such is going to happen. The Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Why would I then live an ungodly life? And so we're going to have preservation and we're going to have deliverance because of the discretion that we have. And notice in verse number 12, it talks about we're going to be preserved and we're going to be delivered from the evil man, from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh forward things. Verse number 13, who leaves the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice to do evil and delight in the forwardness of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and they forward in their paths. And so it says there's these people out there, they're going to try to get you to do wrong. They have crooked paths. Sometimes they're over here, sometimes they're over there. Their paths are hard to follow. And their ways are not lining up with God's Word. And so the Bible says that as we grow in wisdom, we're going to be preserved from that. We're not going to have to walk the way of the sinners. We're going to be able to avoid it. And then if you look down in verse number 16, not just are we delivered from the evil man, it kind of contrasts and says the evil man, then it also says from an adulterous woman. To deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger, which flattereth with her words, which forsaketh the guide of her youth and forgetteth the covenant of her God. For her house inclineth unto death, and her paths unto the dead. None that go unto her return again, neither take they hold of the paths of life. And so, men, if there's any of you here, and we all battle at different points in our thought life and in different things that come before our eyes. And if you really want victory, if I really want victory, if I want to keep growing in my thought life, in not looking at an adulterous woman, someone that's displaying with lust and things like that, you know what I need? I need more of God's wisdom. Because discretion is the only thing that says, yes, Nathan, that looks really nice right now. But if you give into that, that's going to ruin this for you. That's going to ruin this for you. That's going to ruin this for you. And that's what wisdom does. It gives us that discretion to think before I do something, before I look at something, before I participate in something. Wisdom says, Nathan, stop that. That's not worth it. It looks worth it. You notice there, in talking about the strange woman, it says at the very end of verse 16, the stranger which flattereth with her words. Sin is enticing. Any sin is enticing. And guess what? Our flesh and the devil know exactly what most entices us. And it's going to send that our way. But you know what discretion does? It says, no, you don't want to go down that path. Think before you do something. And wisdom preserves us. It delivers us from sin. From all types of sin. And we're going to get into that more in detail, very specifically in the book of Proverbs. So we're going to be preserved. We're going to be delivered. In chapter 3, verse 23, it's not just from evil men. It's not just from evil, adulterous women there. It says in Proverbs 3, verse 23, Then thou shalt walk in safety, and thy foot shall not stumble. There's safety. We're not going to stumble at something when it comes our way. When we're walking in wisdom, the Bible says that a wise person foresees the evil and hides themselves. They don't go anywhere near it. And so as we grow in wisdom, we're going to grow in not stumbling. If you ever see a person and you're like, man, and we all have internal struggles, but you say, man, that person does not sin nearly as much as I do. Well, if that statement is actually true, and it might be true, I've progressed further along in wisdom than other people. There are some older men in here that are much better at it than I am. But the more we grow in wisdom, the better we're going to be protected from stumbling and falling. And that's why with young Christians, with baby Christians, with people that are new in Christ, don't get so discouraged when they seem to be struggling more than you. That's natural. You should be doing better than younger Christians. But we all can be doing better and better and better. And you know what? When we grow in wisdom, we're not going to stumble nearly as much. We're going to be protected from that. And then in verse number 24, right after verse 23, which we just read in chapter 3, then thou shalt walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. It says in verse 24, when thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. The Bible says as we draw closer to God, we realize we don't have any need to fear. What can man do unto me? And we won't have to fear the consequences for sin because we didn't sin, but we'll also grow in just resting and placing our trust and our hope in God. saying, Lord, I trust that you have this in your control because of the wisdom that I've gained from Scripture. We'll be protected from fear. We won't be as afraid as we used to be the better we grow in wisdom. These are all rewards for wisdom. But we're not just being preserved from things. It's not just a preservation from these things. We also have guidance in what is right. Because we've said it again and again, there are not just sins of omission, there are sins of commission. Wisdom doesn't just keep us from stumbling and falling and from fear and from wicked people. No, it also guides us in what is right. Proverbs 2, verse 20. It says that thou mayest walk in the way of good men and keep to the paths of the righteous. That's what wisdom does for us. It guides us in what is right. And we could spend much more time here, but we will not, and we'll get into this later on. But if you turn to Proverbs chapter 8, just a few other verses to highlight the guidance that we do have. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 14. Again, this is wisdom talking in Proverbs 8. It says, counsel is mine, and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. Verse 15, it says, by me kings reign and princes decree justice. You want to be a good king? You want to be a good ruler? You want to be a good father in your house? You want to be a good mother to your children? Get wisdom. Verse 17, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Riches and honor are with me, yea, durable riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. Verse 20, I lead in the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of judgment. Wisdom leads us in righteous living, in upright living for God. That's what it does as we learn wisdom and as we apply it to our lives. And that's so obvious, but I hope it's important enough for us to remember and to refresh our minds that wisdom will guide us, not just in keeping us from evil, but it'll guide us into the paths of life, the paths of true righteousness, which is so necessary. But then you also just find, not just in relationship to sin and to righteousness, we have growth in our knowledge of God, we have growth in righteous living, but the book of Proverbs also just promises a refreshing life to somebody that is following God and following God's ways. And we'll just hit these really quickly, but the Bible says in Proverbs 3, 13 through 18, you'll be happy. Life will go better for you with wisdom. In verse 16 there, it says you're going to have a prolonged life. And again, that doesn't always happen. Sometimes a very godly person dies at a younger age. But practically speaking, someone that is living for God is going to live longer than somebody that's just always following their heart and always doing what they want to do. And it was especially true in Israel's day. They would be prolonged under the law with what God would give them when he saw them living a righteous life. They would have success. We have success. You want true success in life? Then follow God's wisdom. Live your life and pattern it after his wisdom. In Proverbs 2 and in chapter 3, verse 17 and verse 24, it says that there's peace and there's pleasantness for people that are following after God and for people that love God's ways, for those people that are actively seeking his wisdom. And then in Proverbs chapter 5, it says you're going to have this true life. There's this true life. Sorry, not Proverbs chapter 5. This is point number 5. There's true life for people that love wisdom. Look at Proverbs 3 verse 18. It says, she is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is every one that retaineth her. You want to have true life. You want to feel refreshed. Really, letter C, a refreshing life. I was trying to think of the best word to describe all of these characteristics. Happiness, prolonged life, success, peace, true life. It's just a refreshing life. You're joyful. You're happy. That's why joy is a fruit of the Spirit. The most joyful people, the people that have the most joy in their heart, that should be Christians who are living their lives patterned after the Spirit of God. That's a fruit of the Spirit. Exactly what it's saying here in the book of Proverbs. You will have true joy when you pattern your life after the Spirit of God. And so this is some of what we are given with wisdom. I'm going to go back to this last slide so we can see it all. But we have growth in our knowledge of God. We're going to grow in living righteously. We're just going to have this refreshing, joyful life when we apply our heart to wisdom. and when we listen to understanding, when we seek after it. And so in conclusion, I just go back to our first point here, how we receive wisdom. Again, these are the things that naturally follow from when we were receiving and living in wisdom. And so we said, first of all, we need to be listening for wisdom. We need to put ourselves in a position where we are sitting under God's word, where we quiet the other noises in our lives. And then whose wisdom are we leaning on throughout the day? We have that time where we read our Bibles, but if we're not constantly turning from Nathan's own way, turning from your own way, that's what wisdom teaches us. We need to turn, we need to forsake my own mind. I need to constantly be meditating on and getting God's mind about things. How are you doing in that? Where's your mind throughout the day? Are you just following your instinct, following your default thoughts? Our default thoughts are not right most of the time. The more you get filled with God's wisdom, the more you can trust your instinct, because hopefully you're being controlled by the Spirit. But we constantly need to be reevaluating our own thoughts. Are you earnestly seeking after more wisdom? The Bible says, search for it like for hidden treasure. Eagerly look for it. David said, I'm thirsting after you, God. I'm panting for you. That's how eagerly I want you and need you in my life. Don't just sit there and wait for it to come to you. Eagerly seek after it. Look for ways to get more and more wisdom in your life. And then can we truly say that we love God's wisdom? Wisdom personified says, I love them that love me, and they that seek me early shall find me. Do you read your Bible just to check it off? Or do you read your Bible because you truly value and love and really want to know what God has said? We need to love God's word. And then we must apply it to our lives if God's going to continue blessing us with more and more wisdom. We need to take everything, all that knowledge. That's the difference between knowledge and wisdom. Knowledge is up here. Wisdom is when we take that knowledge and it gets into our heart and we start living it out. That is a wise person. It's not just a person that knows all of the right things. It's not a person that can just memorize a bunch of scripture that can tell you all sorts of stuff. No, the true test of wisdom is when you look at a person's life and you say, okay, are they applying everything that they know? That's how we receive wisdom. We must be active in these things. And then we have these rewards. We're going to grow in our knowledge of God. We're going to grow in righteous living. And we're going to have a wonderful, refreshing life. This refreshing enjoyment of just living for God. It's not always going to be easy. Sometimes you'll look over at a person that's not saved and you'll say, man, they seem to be having a lot more fun than me. Sometimes that's true. Oftentimes when you really get to know them, you realize, man, they're actually a lot more miserable than I would ever be. They have no hope in this life. But the Bible promises that overall, a person that's living after God's word, they're going to be happy. Blessed is the man that walketh not after the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. That is the blessed man. That is the happy man. I've heard people describe the word blessed as you could say it's double happiness. Happy, happy is the man that doesn't lean on the counsel of the wicked, his own heart. Happy, happy is the man that goes to God's word and says, Lord, I'm going to listen. I'm going to turn from my way. I'm going to search. I'm going to love. I'm going to cherish. I'm going to guard your word in my heart. That's the person that is going to reap these rewards in their lives. And we all want these rewards. We want to know how to live rightly. We want to know how to please God. We want to have a happy life. God says this is the way to get that, and we must all pattern our lives after that. Let's ask the Lord to continue to grow us in wisdom and to give us that in our own individual lives. Father, thank you really for the simple truths that you do give us. And Lord, we thank you that you do want us to have a happy life. You want us to have an encouraging life. You want us to have a full and fulfilled life, a refreshing life in you. And Lord, you promise that through your wisdom. And I pray that you would help us to love and to cherish your wisdom, that we would eagerly search it out, Lord, that we would place ourselves in a position to just listen to your word with all of these other voices and noises that are crowding in our lives. God, may you continually stir our hearts. And Lord, we'll give you the praise. We'll give you the thanks for all of the results and all the blessings that you do promise to those that follow after you in wisdom. Before we open our eyes, let's just take a moment of silence in our own hearts. And whatever it might be, as we seek after wisdom, whatever way you feel like you need to grow the most, and let's talk to the Lord and ask Him to help us in that. Let's first admit our lack of commitment to Him in that way, and then let's ask Him to help us grow. As the piano plays, just deal with the Lord in whatever way you need to deal with Him now. Lord, you know our hearts, you know our desires. I pray that you would keep working in each one of us. I pray that we would get more wisdom from you this week, that we would grow in it. We ask this in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. Thank you all for your good attention tonight. I realize looking back at the clock that was a little longer than normal, but I appreciate the good attention. And we all need wisdom. We all need that from God. Mrs. Byford, what number was that?
That was 510.
Okay, we're going to turn to hymn number 500.